Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Hashtags and Habits podcast. My name is Danny White, and today I'm happy to welcome my friend Bridget Moody to the podcast stage. Bridget has an impressive career spanning over 3 decades, encompassing a wealth of corporate and nonprofit experience. Her extensive business and project management background is reinforced by her academic accomplishments, including a Bachelor of Science degree in business administration with a specialized focus in project management. She is also a distinguished, certified, and commissioned transformational coach and strategic management consultant. Welcome, Bridget. Thank you for joining me today.
Well, hi, Danny. Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Awesome. So glad to have you. You've been in both the corporate and entrepreneurial worlds for a long time now. Mm-hmm. So yes, how did you make the transition from like corporate to starting your own business? Like, how has that experience been?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, Danny, it started out, I was doing both. And it was a tall task. It was a real, real tall glass of water. But what I thought was that, you know, as I went along, I learned more things. But I just had this entrepreneur spirit from early on, probably early 20s. And I began to do little things on the side. It was always something I was doing. You know, I tried Mary Kay, I did jewelry, I did, you know, there was always something. I always had this affinity for wanting to do something for myself. And at that time, not really having the knowledge that I have now and the wherewithal to push forward, to press in, to really pursue something on a more solid foundation, something more rooted, something more grounded, something that was going to be more impactful and customer focused in that regard. And I found what I did find out in starting early is I found out what I liked and I found out what I didn't like.
Right.
And so, you know, and that's why I can say to people now, it's so important to be clear and understand your lane, because I tried to do things to make money, but it wasn't my lane. So I didn't stay with it. I didn't stick with it because it wasn't the thing that I enjoyed doing. And so, you know, as I was a professional, I was a project manager, change management, you know, all these different areas that went along with organizational structure and administrative savviness. I learned that was my piece. That was my sweet spot. And so when I determined that, I began to build on it. And so for about eight years, I started about 2013. I started working on this consulting piece. Added in the coach piece as I went along because it was necessary. But I tell you, I would see clients in the mornings before I started my shift. And then, you know, in the afternoon, sometimes during lunch, that's how I built my business. And that's how I would see people based on their time zone, wherever they were. And even on weekends. So Saturdays was a work day. And so it was something to do, you know, over time, because it was like working 2 full-time jobs. Mm-hmm. And then eventually the company I was working for in corporate had probably their 4th merger. And I was like, OK, I'm out. This is the last time I'm doing any more mergers. So when they offer and say, hey, your position's been eliminated, do you want to do this, that, and the other? I'm gonna be like, no, give me my funds and I'm going to move along and do my own thing. And so it's going on 4 years now. I've been 100% entrepreneur. I called myself a parapreneur. All that time that I was doing both. And so now I am a 100% entrepreneur on my own. And it has been an awesome ride so far. Challenging. It has its, you know, it's hard in these entrepreneur streets, right?
Yes, yes.
But, you know, these streets don't ride easy. They're a little bumpy. But at the end of the day, it has been well worth it. And the reward has been great. So that's kind of how I did it. And I just did a little bit at a time, you know. And I allow myself to have incremental growth. I didn't try to just, you know, jump into it all at once.
That's awesome. So you talked about how you were working your corporate job and you started your business at the same time and you started doing things to become an entrepreneur, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of that has to do with getting clear on like what it is that you like to do and what it is that you're passionate about. So like, how do you help people get a clear vision for what their business should be about? Like people who want to be entrepreneurial because Instagram and social media has made it look cute and fun and that you get to travel and take all these trips all the time. How do you help people who want to become business owners or who might be in the beginning stages of being a business owner get clear on what it is they need to be doing?
Well, you know, one of the things I alluded to just a moment ago, and that was understanding your lane. I did a lot of things. Like I said, Mary Kay, jewelry, Premier Jewelry. That was a big thing back in the day. However, what I learned with that, that was not my thing. I'm like, for Mary Kay, I'm not a makeup person, right? So I just don't do, you know, I wear it periodic, but I'm not an everyday makeup person. So that's not something that I'm going to be able to do. I wasn't just really into the shades and this and the color of that and this. And, you know, because that wasn't my lane. And so most times when you get clear about what your lane is, what you're called to, what your purpose is, that's mm-hmm. where you spend 95% of your time, even on a daily basis, because that's the thing you're drawn to. That's the thing that works for you with the least amount of effort. And so that's where I began to coach people, you know, trying to understand what is it that you enjoy doing? What do you love to do? Because mm-hmm. oftentimes the case is this, the thing that we were born to do, our innate ability, is the thing we run from because we don't think it's profitable. So we right. don't enjoy doing it. And so, or we don't attempt to do it because we don't think we can be profitable with it. We don't think we can make money with it. And mm-hmm. what I learned in, matter of fact, it was my first client and I was still a parapreneur at the time because I was still working corporate, but I was asked to do a job for a client. It was an event because I kind of did event. All of that kind of went into the organizational management, project management, that kind of thing. So the first opportunity that I had that really gave me solace in the fact that I was in the right lane, they had four projects, major projects that they had going on or events that were culminating in less than a 6 month period for which they called and asked for my assistance. Mm-hmm. And so not even knowing what I had the ability to do, once that particular opportunity yielded successful, I was very confident at that point that I was in the right lane. They had two receptions that were 250 plus people. One was 500 plus people. Then they had this major event that required organization and management of talent and music and travel and transportation set up and all of this kind of thing. And then they had this full commemorative book that was 150 plus pages that people had to be constructed graphically, content-wise, organizational-wise. All of that had to come together, be printed. There mm-hmm. had to be a specific flow for that. And you know what that's like in your industry. And when I was able to get that project done in less than 6 months and got it done on time and within budget, I knew I was in my lane. And so because you have the ability to do more because that's your area and that's your purpose and that's your calling. And it was clear to me at that point, Bridget, this is where you're supposed to be. And so I capitalized off of that opportunity because while I was doing it for organizations, I began to have individuals come and say, can you help me do this? I'm trying to do that and this. And so that's where I began to feel my well. And I just began to pack the information in. I began mm-hmm. to learn things and I began to do more things that were in that area that utilized those gifts, those tools that I had. And so that's what I often use to help people understand I was good with that because that was my area. That was clearly, you know, that was clearly my purpose. That was clearly the vision that, you know, I needed to flow out because it was my lane. And so that kind of helps people to understand and be clear about, get that clarity. Okay, I do this really, really good. But oftentimes they never think about it as being profitable, as being mm-hmm. a business. And so, and even today, you know, Danny, I don't think there are very many people who do what I do. There are a lot of people who do courses, conferences, they're coaches, but they do high level coaching. And so when you get out of those situations or out of those courses or out of those classes or out mm-hmm. of those summits, workshops or whatever, you still have to go and figure out how to apply what they told you because they told you the overarching information, but they don't give you the how to.
The how. So yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So they show you, but they don't tell you. They show you how, but they don't tell you how. And so at the end of the day, and so that's why I say we don't just tell you how, we show you how, because it's important that people can be shown the 1, 2, 3s and the ABCs of how you get there. Because oftentimes when you do that, it helps people to be able to differentiate whether mm-hmm. or not this is for me or if it's not for me or if this is the time or this is not the time.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. So what do you think comes first? Does passion come first or does purpose come first? Because a lot of times we hear like follow your passions, go after your dreams. But what if that is not like in alignment with the actual purpose for which you're on earth to
I think understanding the purpose is definitely first. You know, why am I here? Right. you know, what abilities do I have? What is it that I do very, very easily? I don't think about it. It's just, I enjoy it. This is what I, you know, and thinking about that, because sometimes the passion is there for something and you really enjoy doing it, but you don't think of it as your purpose.
Right.
Yeah. And so when you understand that part, oftentimes you begin to have more of an affinity for doing it or seeking different ways of doing it, right? Mm-hmm. So what I do it in different ways. I do speaking engagements. I speak at conferences. I have my own conference. I do workshops. I teach it, you know, with my, I have a coaching and mentoring group. I share this information on a daily basis with clients. So it's a part of everything I do, and I do it in different ways. I write books about it. So I'm utilizing all of the things that flow through me from this area, but in different ways. But understanding the core of who I am is and what it is I enjoy doing was the first thing. And so, like I said, when I established, I got clear. Oh, this is your lane. Right. Because that's not, number one, to do four projects with that kind of, this was before Zoom. We had conferencecall.com, free conferencecall.com, and we had emails and phone calls and me getting on a plane and traveling to that city every month. That's what I had. I didn't have a team, none of that. And so it's the ease of it that let me know, okay, you in your lane, because it flows better for you when you're in that place of purpose. And, right. And so, you know, when I understood that I had this administrative anointing or this administrative gifting or purpose, then it was better for me because, you know, it really what I did was I saw myself in the mirror doing some things, you know, and moving very easily, whereas other people it was making their head swim.
Right.
So we had 400 people that, you know, I had to work with, determining who those leaders were going to be, how we were going to, you know, galvanize everybody, how we were going to disseminate the information. And the thing of it was, everything flowed. And right. It was just, and so it flows when it's for you. When it is a part of your purpose, it just works. And it's easy. It's not a challenge. And so when we try to, it's like forcing a circle into a square peg when it just doesn't work, you know. And so, but when it does work, you know, it just lines up really, really easy. And it's a real simple flow.
This is actually a good point because I often like get the question like, okay, how are you able to do so many things at the seemingly at the same time? And that is the reason, because it comes easy to me, right?
Yes.
So what might take someone 30 days to do, well, I can do that in 3 hours and achieve a better result, right?
Absolutely.
So I think that's also one of the signs of like being, of people knowing that they're in their purpose or knowing that what they're passionate about is the thing they should pursue, is that it's an easy flow when you are doing that particular thing and people around you recognize that same thing. Okay, so let's say that a business owner, they are clear on like what their vision is for their business. How do they now go and align that to their business structure? Like, how do they transfer what's in their head and their heart to what needs to be on paper, to the SOPs, to what other people need to be following? Because I feel like that's where the disconnect times. Like, it's here and it's here. And we understand it, but we can't translate that to other people that might be on our team.
Yeah, that's a good question. And, you know, I get that one all the time. And I get people who come to me who are totally oblivious to everything. They just don't. They don't know. They're all over the place. Then I get people who come and they really know what they want to do and that kind of thing. But it's all in their head. And I call that, you know, that's Clutter Boulevard, because everything's trying to move at the same time. Nothing has its own lane. Nothing has an exit or on ramp. And everything's just flowing and doing its own thing. It's so important. I have what I call 5T strategy model, and I use this 5T strategy model to help individuals to really organize their thoughts, right, and get those things on paper. So this 5T strategy model is inclusive of talk it, task it, time it, track it, and trace it. And so what that means is it's a left to right kind of thinking to help people organize how they're thinking about what it is that they want to do. The pieces and parts, you know, I want a nice home with black windows, and I want a long wraparound porch and all of that. So you get this whole end picture together, but then you got to go back to, okay, now I got to get the land. So it's helping people to think simplistically about what's first, you know, what's required first. And so as you're talking that out, talk about all the wonderful things. That's good. talk it out, but then you write tasks down for each of the things that you know you want to happen, right? Mm-hmm. So then once you talk that through and then you document what you talk through, you develop tasks. Then you give those task descriptions. And not only do you give them descriptions, but you give them time frames. Based on what that time, that description is, it's going to determine how much time you feel you need to get that particular item done. And then mm-hmm. you're going to take from left to right. Then you're going to go to the tracking part. Okay, so I said I wanted a house with brick and, you know, say stucco or whatever the case may be. And I want a long wraparound porch and I want 5,000 square feet. So that determines the 5,000 square feet determines the type of land you need, because you can't build a land on 3,000 square feet of land. You're going to need, you know, double the size. So, you know, and what are the other things if you're having a garage or whatever the case may be? So you look at that end picture, but then you work backwards to determine, okay, what do I need to get there? And so documenting in this way helps you with that. So I've researched, I found this out. So now what do I need to do? So the next step may be I need to get pre-qualified. How much house can I buy? How much land can I buy? Because that's going to determine if you can do 5,000 square feet or you're going to have to start with 2,000 square feet, right?
Right.
And so helping people to understand how to get all, because you can have all these wonderful thoughts in your mind, but until you get them on paper, the gaps are not filled. The things that you're not thinking about can't not be realized. So mm-hmm. when you get it on paper, it helps you to really get a foundation together that's solid to build that vision on, or to build that idea on, or whatever that aspiration is, because now you can clearly see what you can do versus what you need to have a process to do, or what you need to wait to do, or how much finances you're going to need, or how much time you're going to need. And so as you're documenting all of that information, you're creating a plan of action for yourself. And then you get to that tracing. Tracing is monitoring and controlling what you have developed as a task, the time frame you put with it, the research you've done, the information you've acquired to help you implement it and execute it. So mm-hmm. that's kind of the, I call it the left to right brain kind of flow that I utilize to help people see, oh, okay, well, if I want to do XYZ, I got to do ABC.
Right.
And I can't do ABC because I didn't do XYZ first. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I help people to get those thoughts out, to get the clutter out, because you cannot feasibly work a plan of action to do anything until you first get it on paper.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. I think sometimes a lot of business owners, because there is so many things going on besides mm-hmm. just running a business, right?
Yes.
They get stuck in the clutter phase because mm-hmm. they have so many different trains of thought running in their head. Okay, so let's say that we have the vision, we've created a structure for our business. Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that the culture of the business aligns to this vision? So you have like the statement that you always say that if you don't create a company culture, the people that you invite in, they're going to create mm-hmm. it for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that the people we're inviting in to be part of our vision, part of our team, part of our business, that they also understand that this is the vision we're going after?
Absolutely. So this is where you establish the culture, because as you're establishing what it is that you want, for instance, you know, let's just keep using the house as the example. Mm-hmm. So once you have created this end goal of what you want and you're pulling this information together, you know, and what type of, you know, what your entryway is going to look like. You know, how that's going to be set up. So for instance, when people come to your house, they're going to enter your house a particular way. It's the same thing for a business. When a person comes into your business, you're going to have documentation on how that business is set up, how it's structured, mm-hmm. right? What it is you do, what it is you don't do, what it is your end goal is, how you onboard customers or clients, what's your intake process, what we say when we respond to clients and what we do not say, how we, you know, how we communicate with clients and, you know, even content for emails, what we say, what we don't say. You know, if a client, you know, for instance, a client may come in and, you know, they're wanting to, for instance, do, they may want to do this whole, you know, drawn out kind of situation that's $100,000 budget, but they only have $50,000. Well, it's obvious. I don't care. At the end of the day, we're not going to promise somebody we can help you get that done when you don't even have the funds. You have a $50,000 budget, so we're going to have to work within the confines of that, you know, and so that you never overpromise and underdeliver. You want to promise and overdeliver. So you always give the client what is feasible to do, because we are results driven. And right. So these things are important. And so culturally, a lot of times, especially small businesses, because we're trying to, you know, establish ourselves and we want the business and we want to make the money, we'll bite mm-hmm. off more than we can chew, and we don't establish a culture. So as a result of that, you may bring somebody into your business, and because you didn't establish the do's, the don'ts, how we do it, and what it is that we do not do, then that person may go after something that is not feasible for your company. And what it does is it sets you back, because it only takes one customer to be dissatisfied, to say all that right. they're not competent to do what it is they told me they could do. So mm-hmm. it's so important to know what you have the ability to do and what you have the ability not to do. And right. so all of those pieces and parts are important when it comes to, you know, servicing your clients. And so this is why, you know, the systems that I use are important. And having a system, having structure, knowing what kind of business you are, what kind of business you're not. So that's one of the first things, especially if a client is establishing a business. And it can even be writing a book, because writing a book is a business. And you have to know, what is the end goal here? And, you know, you have to have a strategy. So everybody goes through a strategy with my services, mm-hmm. you know, and especially one-on-one clients. So even the coaching and mentoring group, there are things that we do, but my one-on-one clients, there's a structure, there's a strategy, and there's a system that I utilize for every client. And so that's one of the things that I've been just honing in on. This is important, because if you don't establish a culture for what you do, be it a solopreneur or a small business with employees, mm-hmm. people will bring their own, because they're going to do what it is that they know to do and not what you have documented or structured for them to do. So having this structure, which is called an SOP, that's a standard operating procedure. And I say it like this: policy is what you do. Processes is how you do it. And procedures are the steps that you take to get it done. So if you think about whatever it is that you do, think about the business that you have. If that's making cupcakes, right? Mm-hmm. This is yeah. what we do. We make cupcakes. We make cupcakes that are moist. What's our process for making cupcakes that are moist? We use this process, and we use yolks and not the yolk and the white of the egg.
You right.
know? Okay. So what are the steps we're going to take to do that? We separate mm-hmm. our eggs, we sift our flour. We use a particular type of flour. So these are the procedures to get us to that end result of moist cupcakes, right? But if you don't do that, those cupcakes can be dry. You know, they will yep. not have, you have to have a process and procedures for that cupcake to turn out the same way every time. So whether right. you're doing cupcakes or you're doing processes and procedures, you need a step, a system, and a strategy so that it has the same results, no matter who you're dealing with, no matter who you're servicing, you get the same results every time.
Absolutely. So let's say that you're in the growth stage of a business and you're mm-hmm. now going to venture capitalists and you're ready to raise funds. How do you leverage your same vision mm-hmm. to go and attract investors and partners and even top talent in particular areas, the C-suite especially, to mm-hmm. get on board with your business without them changing the vision of your business?
Well, that's why it's important for you to document it. For you to document it and for you to grow with that over time. So as your business takes on growth, you want to document what's happening. You want to get reviews of you know, how you've been servicing your clients. You mm-hmm. wanting to show success of your business. And so a lot of times when you're not, you know, people think when you're not working with numbers or sales, you know, particularly with products, that kind of thing, but you still have a product suite, even if it's a knowledge product, right? How many right. clients you've serviced, how many of those clients are, you know, successful clients. So even for me, my success rate is 98%. Mm-hmm. So, you know, out of all the clients that I've serviced, I've had one client that was, we didn't have a full success to the degree that the client felt it should have been successful. I felt like I followed the protocol for which I established, but that was an unsuccessful end result, you know, in my opinion, and for the client. So for me, it's 98%. Well, for me, that says, okay, you have something in place. If 98% of your customers have been satisfied customers. And right. then, you know, making sure that you're tracking how many people you're seeing, what kind of work are you doing, and that work, you know, coming out successful. Then what are those clients doing based on the system you provided? How many sales did they have? How successful were they? You know, how did they do with going on and to implement the processes and the systems that you provided them during your servicing? All mm-hmm. of those things are metrics, right? All of those, that information is, that documented information is important for your C-suites, for those that are interested in you having the ability to service them. So that's what I say to people, that regardless of what you're doing, whether it's candy apple cupcakes, freeze cups, or it's a course, you know, right. you follow the same process, making sure that, because the vision is for an appointed time and it continues to grow over time. So it's important that you document how you, because where I started in 2013 is not where I am now. And so mm-hmm. there's been a progression. And so it's important to maintain that. And so people that have left reviews from the earlier times, based on the people who are leaving reviews from this recent time, are a little different, but there's a different trajectory of where I have, you know, catapulted and moved from that time until now. So the seasons change, but the, you know, the building of your business doesn't. So capturing that vision along the way helps you to maintain the culture of it, you know, and you don't have to be, because it'll be like, well, we want to do what you're doing because what you've been doing has been successful for you
right.
and you've seen results. So why would we want to change, you know? So you exactly. have to know the yeah. core of the vision that you have been given and know it well and know it like the back of your hand so that you can, you know. And so what I say to people is, you know, I get people from revelation to manifestation, from vision to reality. And I can say that because that's what I've done. And mm-hmm. so it's a proven method and system that I've utilized to help people get success and have success in their various areas of, you know, in various industries. So it's so important to have that so that when you do get to the table and you're having these conversations with individuals who are interested in what you do or interested in investing or whatever the case may be, that you have a track record that you documented. So writing a vision, putting pen to paper is absolutely essential. And you need to make sure that you keep track of that on a consistent basis, you know, so that people can be aware of what it is that you're doing and how that those results are driven.
Right. This is really important and why it's really important to get a vision that you have created, a vision, a higher mm-hmm. vision from God or whatever your belief system mm-hmm. is, right? And not a vision right. from other people, because you can't maintain someone else's vision, but you can maintain your own. So that's really absolutely. Important. So this leads me to the pen to paper tour that's coming up, well, starting next month.
Yeah. Yeah.
tell
yeah.
us about yeah. that. Tell us also about the S3 strategy model that the tour is kind of based on what people will be yes. learning in the workshops.
Absolutely. Well, this S3 system is definitely the motivator, and it is the theme of this year's tour and even for the conference that will culminate in November. So the tour starts in Atlanta, Georgia, April 27th. And these are workshops 4 hour in time span. And we are, you know, the team in which you are part of, we will be giving, you know, attendees a high level of the various systems that I believe are foundational for any aspiring business owner and even existing business owner. These are areas that you need to be aware of and cognizant of on a mm-hmm. consistent basis. And the S3 model is structure, strategies, and systems. You have to have a structure for what you're doing. You have to know what your strategies are to achieve the structure that you put in place. And that foundational vision is a part of that structure. And then you need to know what's the system I'm going to use, because you need to be able to create that over and over again, because that's a part of who you are and your branding is the fact that this is what I'm known for. This is how I do it. And it's a proven system and it works, whatever that is, because you want to be able to get results on a consistent basis. And if you don't have a system, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a hit and miss. So we are wanting to make sure that, number one, people understand vision, understand their why for their vision. Mm-hmm. And to your point earlier, knowing what is the vision, I'm a believer that God gave you, because it's going to be clear and it's going to be so tethered and tied to your purpose and your calling and your innate ability. That is the talent that you were born with. He gave you something specific. And what he gave you specific is what you can live on and by if you work it and work it correctly. And then next we have a coach, of course, that is going to be talking about how to actually tell that story, because you have to embody your vision, right? You're the person that has to sell it. If you are not, and that's why it's so important that it flows with your purpose and it's tied and tethered to your calling, because you have to embody that vision. So when I talk to people about vision, they can see, they can feel my passion, my fire, because it's a part of who I am, right?
Yes.
And so when you're trying to talk about something, me trying to talk about Mary Kay, that wasn't my thing. So I was in the wrong, that was the wrong street, wrong lane, wrong city. You know,
right.
I was nowhere near where I needed to be. And so that's why it's important that we know that. And so being able to tell that story and then know how to network with other people to massage that opportunity is important. So we have that. And then, of course, you got to know how to market it. And with small business owners, aspiring business owners, and people who are just getting out there, learning how to market and what's the best thing to do to get yourself moving, because that's one of the most expensive areas of business is marketing, because you have to be able to get yourself out there. And of course, I've been doing what I've been doing for a long time. And I've been investing time in different places, not just money, but time in groups. And so it's a lot of different pieces and parts that we have to, you know, put together that envelops that whole picture. But you need to know the best way to do it. What's the best strategy for what you do, your product, so that you can market yourself. That's important. Very, very important. And then, of course, we have how you show up, right? We have a fashion and image consultant that is going to be a part of this tour, because you want to dress the way you want to be addressed, and you want to address to express who you are as that particular visionary and business owner. So that's important, because when you show up to talk to a C-suite person, or you show up to present your business at, you know, some type of conference or what, or present yourself, how you show up matters. And so that's a key component. And it's just not the clothes, but it's your countenance, your character. All of those pieces and parts are part of you as your fashion statement or your image statement. And then, of course, we have the opportunity for a lot of persons that are not aware, and that's government contracting, because there are opportunities to have a flow of income for your business. But here again, it goes back to having that structure in place. And if you have that structure in place, have that documentation there, you can prepare yourself very easily to be on a trajectory for accomplishing opportunities for government contracting, which would give you a flow of income for your business, be it small, medium size, or whatever. But simply, definitely for minorities and women-owned businesses. So that's the flow of content that we're going to be sharing across the country. And we're going to be in various cities, some of the major cities in the country. And so, like I said, we're going to be starting with Atlanta, Georgia, heading up then to Hampton Roads area. So that's Norfolk, Virginia, your Baltimore area. We also then have Las Vegas. So that is going to be center of the year in June. Then we'll head over to San Bernardino, California, and then kind of come back this way and head to Chicago, Illinois. Then we go to Portland, Oregon. So we are hitting all the corners of the country, northeast, northwest. So we're hitting all of it, southeast and southwest. And then we come back to Houston, Texas, and then we'll end up in D.C., the nation's capital, in October. And so we have a couple other cities that are kind of in the wings. So if you're a person who is interested in hosting in all of these cities, we have people who have reached out to say, listen, I want to host a workshop. I want to gather 25 people and I want them to get this information. And so, of course, the workshop across the board is $97 until the week of the actual workshop. If there are seats left, they're $129 per person. And then, of course, we have the opportunity for you to, you know, attend as many as you want. They're all on the same page. And then we culminate this tour in Dallas, Texas on November 1st and 2nd with a conference right here in the city, the heart of the city of Dallas, Texas. So that's the tour. That's what's happening. That's what we're doing. We're going to have fun doing it. We're excited about it. And we're excited about people getting this information and tapping into the opportunities that are out there.
Yes, I am also excited about the tour as well. I'll be in a couple of cities with you and the team. So if anyone is interested in registering, you can register at bridgetmoody.com/tour. All of the cities and locations, dates are all there. Register, bring your friends, bring your business partners, your coworkers, people who are interested in starting a business. This is a good starting point. for Absolutely. You and for them. So Bridget, I want you to wrap up with a couple of insights, 3 to 5 minutes of your best advice for business. You've given us a lot of information, but just 3 to 5 minutes of like what you would tell a small business owner, how they can get business vision and clarity.
Sure. Well, you know, number one, first of all, clarity. Clarity is key. We've been talking about it the entire, you know, time. Clarity is so very important. Until you get clear about your vision, and I say this all the time, you can't see it until you see it. And what that means is, you know, getting it on paper gives you a tangible connection to your vision. And so that's the whole premise of writing it down. And we go 3 levels deep on vision, especially in the conference. We'll give you a little bit of that on the tour, but we take our time to really massage that thought so that you understand if you're not clear, customers won't be clear and confused buyers do not buy. And so it's important that you are super clear about what it is that you called and purpose to do and the lane that you should be driving in. And so when we're clear about that, we stay in our lane and we don't have these wrecks. We don't have these interferences because we know where we're supposed to be. And then if we're clear, we have confidence. Clarity of vision and clarity of where you're supposed to be helps you to be confident about it. And so when you're confident about what you're supposed to be doing, the lane you're supposed to be in, it helps you to better, number 3, communicate, because you can clearly communicate to people what it is that you do, how it is that you can help them, the results that you offer, and how it is that your culture is established and set up when people come into your business, come in to your structure. Because you have this super clarity, you gain this confidence, it helps you to communicate a lot better. And so there are words that you don't even have to worry about thinking about because you're super clear and there's a focus there. So number 1, clarity. Number 2, it gives us confidence. And then once we have confidence, we can communicate better. And when we can communicate better, people may not believe this, but it helps you to collaborate better because people can see themselves in the vision that you have so curated and put together and documented. And so it becomes a system. It becomes a flow. It becomes a structure. And it gives you the ability to have a strategy by which to scale and grow your business. So it's so important. Those 4 C's, clarity, confidence, communication, and collaboration, and they all work together. Because as soon as you get that clarity about your vision, your confidence builds. It does something to your confidence when you are clear about your vision. And once you gain that confidence, your communication gets just that more precise. And the more precise it gets and the more clear you are with communicating, people are going to want to collaborate with you. They're going to want to connect with you and figure out what is it that you're doing? How can I be a part of that? And that's all because of number 1. Clarity. So that would be, you know, what I would share. And this is the thing that we're going to be sharing on this tour. And I think, you know, the information that we're going to be sharing is going to give, and everything may not resonate with every person, but there's going to be something about what one of these presenters has to share and has to say that's going to resonate and bring clarity for you in a particular area. And when you get that clarity, it's going to give you another level of confidence. And from there, I'm telling you, it's going to begin to take off. So we're looking forward to being able to pour in and pour out those areas to help people, you know, really see their vision more tangibly.
I love it. Those of you who are interested in registering for the Pen to Paper Tour, go to BridgetMoody.com/tour. That's BRIDGETTEMOODY.com/tour. The first stop is in Atlanta next month, April 27th. So we are all looking forward to seeing you there. You can also connect with Bridget on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Are there any other platforms that you're on?
And YouTube. Motivation okay. Conversation. Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much, Bridget, for all of the insights you've provided us today. I'm sure that someone is going to be blessed and encouraged and hopefully will implement what you have shared with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I appreciate you for having me. It's been amazing.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time.